You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. People in San Francisco like to dress up. Theme parties, street fairs, Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, Pride, and of course, Burning Man. San Francisco seems to jump at any excuse to throw off daily wear in favor of something more theatrical. That explains why more than 2,500 people showed up for the recent San Francisco Opera Costume Shop sale. Steven Raspa is a community events organizer for Burning Man, and he was one of them.
I'm always a little sad to see all these amazing works of art leave the opera, but they show up in the most marvelous places in San Francisco all year long, and this is something that really fuels creative play and dress in the city, and I just love it.
People love the sale so much that some folks even camp out the night before just to make sure they could get in. This was only the fifth time in its 91-year history that the San Francisco Opera opened its costume closet to the public. The two-day event was a chance for the company to sell costumes they no longer need and to raise money for future productions. The good news is that more than 100,000 extraordinary outfits just entered the creative bloodstream of San Francisco and the Bay Area. The bad news? The sale probably won't happen again for at least 5 years, maybe longer. In the meantime, you'll have to live vicariously through KALW's David Boyer.
I heard about the sale from some of my Burning Man friends. Around noon on the first day, people started posting photos. One friend in a Marie Antoinette dress, wig included. Another in a gold lamé, Russian monk's robe with matching gold hat. Clearly, this was a sale not to be missed. By the time I get there, the line outside the San Francisco Opera Warehouse in Dogpatch is about 4 hours long. I think about hopping back in my car and catching up with friends post-brunch. Then I meet this guy, who's emerging from the bowels of what looks like an airplane hangar.
My name is Joseph Turian, and I'm wearing a turban right now. But when I was inside, I saw this one piece, and I was like, I don't know if that's going to fit me. And this fellow, he came up, he started helping me, and he's like, no, it's going to fit you. So it turns out his name is Christopher, and he's the head of costume. And he was telling me that what I got was the last Bob Mackie piece.
Oh, are you kidding?
Bob Mackie, sometimes called the Sultan of Sequins, designed Cher's most outrageous outfits, and many for Liza, Bette Midler, Diana Ross, and a long list of divas. Basically, if it was sequined and worn by a star in the 80s, chances are good it was designed by him. Mackie also designed costumes for the opera, like that gold and black velvet beaded dress that Joseph Turian snagged.
Were you the one in the beaded gown?
Yeah, that was me. And he was giving me tips. He's like, never dry clean it. He's like, only spot clean it.
Excellent advice. It sounds like this Christopher person knows a thing or two. I need to find him. He just may be my ticket in.
He's inside. If they'll let me back in, I could just show you.
In the meantime, I'm waiting just outside in the loading zone, watching people emerge in one ornate outfit after another, practically taunting me. I need to get in there. And then a man approaches. There's no puff of smoke, but he makes a dramatic entrance with his Secret Service style earpiece and no-nonsense, by-the-rules attitude.
So my name is Christopher Verdosi. I am the assistant costume director for the San Francisco Opera. Come this way.
Okay.
Let's go in here.
Christopher Verdosi is straight out of central casting. He's like my opera sale fairy godmother. He's wise and sassy, and he moves pretty fast, too. He grabs me by the hand and leads me through a crush of costume shoppers, narrating all along the way.
This is my favorite part, is walking across the room and walking past a 19th century maid, a gladiator, a Wotan, and a crazy dirty monk.
We're in a roped-off area where the most expensive costumes are located. From here, I can survey the entire scene. The room is massive. There are nearly 1,000 people buzzing around, trying things on, trying to catch a glimpse in one of the few mirrors in the room, and of course, rifling through nearly 100 racks of clothing of every color, period, and fabric. We're talking furs, laces, feathers, brocades, beads, and velvets. You name it, it's here.
We started this morning with over 125,000 costumes. I'd say we're probably down to about 75 now.
These costumes were made for operas and productions that the company knows they won't repeat. For the lucky people in the room, it's a rare chance to own pieces worn by opera royalty and created and constructed by master costumers, as well as a few famous fashion designers. And for Verdossi, it's a chance to share his encyclopedic knowledge of the costumes and productions, as well as his passion and reverence for the art form.
I think that costumes are infused with energy from the artist that wears it, from the artist that builds it, and it's more sad for costumes like this to sit on a rack unused for 20 years than to release them to people that will love them, cherish them, and, because we're so lucky to live in San Francisco, wear them.
Wear them. That's exactly why I'm here. But just how much does one invest in a fur-lined cape or a suit of armor?
Everything runs from $1 up to $750. Some special pieces are here. Somebody asked me, why is this dirty coat and pants $500? Because that is from the legendary Christian Lacroix for the Capuletti and the Montagues.
That opera was a retelling of Romeo and Juliet. And if the name of the designer is familiar, you probably heard it on that 90s sitcom Ab Fab.
Lacroix, sweetie. I know people will think, wow, it's a Lacroix. Okay?
And then it happens.
Oh my God, I think I found your piece with your coloring. Gorgeous, right? And this gorgeous jacket is selling for, again, a whopping $35. No, I'm sorry, I stand corrected. This one is $25.
What's it made out of?
Wool.
I'm allergic, but I might have to deal with it.
Well, I think you might have to deal with it. Oh God, it looks so good in the back. It has this little butt peplum. I mean this little peplum.
Well, I love that the orange and burgundy jacket covers my tush. I can feel my skin heating up. My wool allergy is kicking in. It's hard to say no to this hand-selected bargain. But with dozens of racks to look through and an hour till they close, I have to pass on it. We move on to a rack of Renaissance-era dresses from the opera Die Meistersinger.
I'm looking for a Dickensian dress to wear to the Dickens Fair. Am I a little off?
You know, since things are separated by price, on one rack, you can be looking at 18th century, medieval, biblical, Renaissance. So, in my opinion, it's the hunt that's part of the fun.
Yes, definitely. So. We found things that we didn't even realize we were looking for. It's awesome.
What'd you get?
Oh, my God. We got everything. We've got hats and capes and jackets. It's a lot of playa wear. I think my best find is this.
Wow. All of this beautiful trim down the front is vintage Bavarian metal lace. And if you could turn around, I just want to look at the label because then I could tell you even more about it. Wow, wow, wow. So, it's from the opera Tsar's Bride, but this was a co-production, and this is actually a vintage robe that was created at La Scala in Milan, the absolute best opera company in the world.
So I should not wear this on the playa.
This is one you should not wear on the playa.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So here's what I ended up buying. A mustard-colored tunic, a high-collared, peach-colored Elizabethan shirt, plus an Elizabethan page outfit, with its hot pink, gold-trimmed jacket, puffy breeches, and a matching red velvet cape. Some shoppers will wear the costumes to role-playing events like the Ren Fair or Steampunk Ball. Others will cart them out to the desert for Burning Man. For me, it's less about inhabiting a role or playing a part. It's a chance to incorporate these exquisitely crafted pieces into my daily wardrobe and articulate a heightened, more fabulous version of myself. For Cross Currents, I'm David Boyer.